Stop the coaster, I want to get off.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Viglund. We don't often start the show with the happy music, but sometimes you just gotta shake things up. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke likes to do that too. After almost 2 weeks of warnings about inflation that drove markets worldwide into a tailspin, yesterday Bernanke said, inflation had fallen back somewhat. The Dow gained just shy of 200 points, 198 in fact, to close back above 11,000. Second rally in as many days. The Nasdaq jumped 58 points. The S&P tacked on 26. Senators are renewing their push to beef up the government's oversight over mortgage giant Fannie Mae. The company is working on a massive restatement of earnings going back to 2001. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has the latest.
Fannie's current CEO, Daniel Mudd, was chief operating officer when executives were raking in tens of millions of dollars in bonuses from falsely stated earnings. Mudd himself earned $26 million in salaries and bonuses between 2000 and 2003. The current board chairman, Stephen Ashley, has been a director for more than 10 years. So Senate Banking Committee members like Iowa Republican Chuck Hagel seemed skeptical of Mudd and Ashley's claims that they didn't know the books were being cooked.
I do just find it astounding that neither of you really know anything that's been going on.
Senator, I was never aware of any misdeed, any mischaracterization, any intentional violation of accounting rules.
House passed legislation to rein in Fannie's independence and limit its mortgage portfolio has stalled in the Senate. But members of the Banking Committee say after yesterday's report, they're determined to pass the bill this year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
All right, tell me you haven't dreamed about doing this. Start your own company, make gazillions of dollars, hand over day-to-day management of your company when you're 50, spend the rest of your life giving money and attention to worthy causes. Well, welcome to Bill Gates' life. But will the company he co-founded be the same without him? Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has the answer.
It was the retirement heard round the world.
I've decided that 2 years from today, I will reorder my personal priorities.
Bill Gates announced he will gradually minimize his role at Microsoft in order to devote himself to the charity work of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Gates named Microsoft's chief technical officers Ray Ozzie and Craig Mundy as his successors, but will Microsoft be Microsoft without Gates? Tech analyst Tim Beharin with Creative Strategy says yes. He says Gates has been grooming a capable team to replace him for years.
All of these guys clearly know Gates' vision, and they know how to implement it. The fact that Gates is stepping away should have minimal impact.
The Gates Foundation is the world's largest charitable organization with more than $29 billion in assets. Beharin says Gates' resources and creativity might really make a difference if he can do for education and healthcare what he did for the software industry. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, here's a guy who just keeps unretiring. Michael Jordan is back in the NBA lineup. No, not with a jersey on. He's bought a big piece of the Charlotte Bobcats. He's now the second largest individual investor in the team after owner Bobcat Johnson. And this is Marketplace. It may be time to dust off that old Save the Whales button. The International Whaling Commission meets today in the Caribbean. Activists fear a 20-year ban on commercial whaling could be sunk. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Japan is expected to win enough allies this weekend to potentially gut the commercial whaling ban. Vasily Papastavrou is a whale biologist with the International Fund for Animal Welfare. He says Japan doesn't have enough votes to actually overturn the moratorium, but he says opponents could institute a secret ballot or block other conservation efforts.
A lot of the important work of the International Whaling Commission could be brought to an abrupt end, and the IWC could be back in the hands of the whalers for the first time since the 1970s.
Japanese officials say whale hunting is part of their national heritage, but demand for whale meat is sluggish. A glut from legal research hunts has sent prices plunging. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
And by Picture House, presenting the Robert Altman film A Prairie Home Companion, with a cast that includes Kevin Kline, Virginia Madsen, and Meryl Streep, now in theaters. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Vigeland. So yesterday, I finally tried the latest time suck craze. I did my first one early in the morning, and then about seven more as the day wore on. Didn't even care if I was a little late to my piano lesson. I had to finish it. It's this thing called Sudoku. It's been a year since the puzzle game started to appear in U.S. papers, and it's pretty much created its own business empire, Marketplace's Nancy Fargali reports.
You know you've hit it big when The Daily Show makes you a punchline.
What I'm saying is the path to peace lies in a newspaper that is 100% pure. Sudoku.
Or better yet, the path to business success. Kathy Kerr works for the Universal Press Syndicate. Her company has offered Sudoku since last June. She calls the puzzle's debut unprecedented. It trounced the launches of popular comic strips like For Better or For Worse and Boondocks.
Right out of the gate, it took on half a dozen clients a week, and eventually we were signing up about 40 newspapers and online sites monthly. So now we have more than 500 newspaper and online points which receive our Sudoku puzzles.
Kerr says when the numbers puzzle lands in a new paper, that paper usually comes out with a story about its popularity.
I believe that people are seeing the newspapers cover the story itself more, and that's creating the buzz.
It's a buzz that's reached the top of the publishing industry. Last year, Sudoku books accounted for 7% of the best-selling trade list. U.S. consumers bought 5.7 million Sudoku books. Go overseas and you'll find similar Sudoku mania. In England, the publisher of a Sudoku magazine sold out the first run in a week. They printed 170,000 more copies of the second issue to meet demand. Papers in the U.K. report better circulation figures when the puzzle appears. Michael Levy is a professor of marketing at Babson College.
Newspapers are having their problems in general. And if this is something that they can use to get the circulation up and stable, then they're going to do it.
So far, the Newspaper Association of America has not tracked the impact of Sudoku on circulation figures in this country. But Levy says newspapers are old news. Sudoku was so cheap to produce that other businesses want to cash in. Thomas Snyder says the market is expanding beyond puzzle hobbyists. Snyder finished second at the first ever World Sudoku Championships in March. He says Sudoku's success has led to some odd new pairings. Get ready for the next big thing from the Wheel of Fortune host.
There's a Pat Sajak themed Sudoku. What's that about? There's an ESPN book that's going to be coming out, which sort of now is using baseball positions instead of the numbers 1 through 9. But again, what does ESPN and sports have anything to do with Sudoku?
Not sure, but ESPN does broadcast the spelling bee. Makes you wonder, can televised Sudoku be next? I'm Nancy Fargali for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, with just $3 to go, I'm Tess Vigeland. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
Say your boss came to you with an offer. You get a...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.